Hi, this is Kate.
Hi, this is Jane.
And we want to say,
what the hell is elder care?
How have you been, Jane?
I've been good, Kate. Thank you.
That's good. Life's treating you okay?
Life is good.
Good, good. Happy to hear that. So I understand this podcast is going to be about navigating your healthcare needs?
Yes, it is. And I thought I would take the word navigation, because that's what started our podcast, Kate, mm-hmm. when we first got together.
Right.
Navigating the system and being advocates, advocates to directing you to different areas in the healthcare system that are tricky, that are confusing, that are frustrating. This actually, Kate, sums up a few of the other topics that we talked about with specific needs, and I think it's a nice tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I'd like to start out with our listeners is, please don't think the next couple of statements I make are silly. They're going to sound so simplistic that people might think they're silly, Kate, but they're not. And it's called Know Your Healthcare Needs. Know your healthcare team.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's vital. And that's why I think, you know, it goes back to you and I with, let's be educated, let's educate people, let's empower them. In this case, let's be informed. Yeah, everybody's sort of informed decision making. Let's be informed as to who your doctor is. Is there a physician's assistant, a PA with that doctor? Is there a CRNP, a certified nurse practitioner? Who in that practice is going to address the needs when you make that phone call, when you make that appointment? Do you agree, Kate?
I agree. And I think that when you're choosing someone to be your primary care doctor, I think it's really key that you ask that physician, will you be the team leader? What is your communication like? Because as we get older, and I can't say this is with everybody, but there are going to be a need for specialists. So you want to make sure that whoever you choose as that primary care physician, whether it be your MD, your DO, doctor of osteopathic, or if it's a nurse practitioner, physician assistant, you want to make sure that that medical professional is going to have your back.
Kate, exactly. A relationship
exactly.
needs to be formed. It needs to be trusted. And you said the key word, communication.
Absolutely.
This isn't toot and scoot. This
no.
is about your medical needs.
Right.
And as you and I well know, and I certainly found out, both personally and with my husband, that when you have a couple of combined medical needs, you brought up specialists. It's important to know why and who's referring you to those specialists. And if you are savvy and can navigate and look on the internet, I mean, there's ratings, there's different information that'll make you feel comfortable with having these folks.
Right. You can look at health grades. You can look, it's called healthgrades.com. You could look at WebMD. There's a lot of different things out there, websites that will provide you with the ratings of these physicians. And I want to stress one thing is, as a medical advocate, I really talk to my patients about, make sure that you're in a medical system in which everybody can read your chart, everybody can read your notes, so that you're not going to Dr. John Doe in, let's say, Harrisburg, and then you're going to see a gastroenterologist that is maybe 20 miles out and unable to read your notes. If you can keep everything under one health system, for example, in Pittsburgh, we have UPMC, we have the AHN system, right? If you can keep it all in one so that the team can read each other's notes.
Correct.
Does that make sense to you?
And right. Kate's not stating that you can't go to
right.
Sloan Kettering to have
an
eval, or go to Cleveland Clinic to
right.
see a cardiologist because your family's there. We're talking about everyday kinds of things that you have access to.
Right. I mean, if you're going to go out, then, you know, you just definitely need to make sure that that specialist or that physician is going to submit documentation or be in touch with your PCP if you go out, if you go to Sloan Kettering, if you go to Memorial Hospital in Houston, you know, MD Anderson. Just make sure that there's communication and that you're not lost.
Correct.
In the system.
So, you know, and I think, you know, Kate, I have always respected Kate for her role as an advocate. And I think as a clinical social worker, I was an advocate as well, but she is specifically an advocate. Let me just remind you that you are your own best advocate. And when you start responsibilities as a caregiver, you are an advocate for the person that you are caring for, whether it be an aunt, an uncle, your parents. Kate has multiple times given examples of when her aunt, who was long distance in a nursing home and going through multiple changes, her communication with the power of attorney, her communication with the nursing home, her communication with different staff people before and after hospice. You just have to be an advocate for yourself. And that leads me into the next statement. Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah, there's never, you know, some clients, patients will not ask a question because they think it's silly, you know, and I reinforce that every question is important. If it's on your mind, you need to ask it, because otherwise it will remain in your mind and you'll keep going through it over and over and over again. So my suggestion with my clients is that I always tell them, you know, A, take somebody in with you, because an extra set of ears are very important. B, make sure you document everything. You need to know what the doctor said and what medications you're going on. So, yeah, I find that very important.
Oh, and actually you touched on two other things. We're going to talk about documenting or keeping a journal of appointments or just keeping a calendar, a medical calendar, if you will. We can go back to pretending we're in the Flintstone era with actually just putting it in writing and keeping it if we don't want to keep it on our phones. But prior to seeing anybody, I think one of the things that you must do is you must figure out what you want to know, what you're going to ask. Therefore, you need to write it down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you're kind of unsure, you need to ask a family member to help you. You know, if you're unsure really what questions you should be asking. And I think one of the key things is if you're going in as a new patient for a PCP, make sure that they are aware that you need a lot of time to ask questions. That's key. That's also very important.
What I think is, my friends used to call me Jumbo because they used to think I was an elephant with my memory. And even I have found out going through some things in the last couple years that I have a list in my mind and I get mad because I didn't put it in writing, and I do come home and I've inevitably left out a question. Can I call back into the office? Yes. However, it's still nice face-to-face to get those questions answered. Right. So right. I'm going to touch just a little bit on something that we call in the medical field is being a good historian.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And if no one has heard that term before, what that means is exactly what Kate was just talking about. Having the information in front of you, having your questions ready to be asked, and knowing what you want for an outcome from this appointment. And the reason I say that is you need to be specific. And I'd like to give an example, whether it just be on a symptom or whether it be on pain in a specific body area. Mm-hmm. But you cannot go in and just say, you know, I've had a pain in my hip. Well, be more specific. Well, it's a little bit up in my left hip. Well, how long is it? You know, don't, if you have a good history for what you're presenting and what your symptom is, and that means a true description of what the pain is like, the duration of the pain, when the pain started, what medications you've tried for that pain, and actually even possibly stating most of the time, where is the pain on the pain scale of 1 to 10? The more specific you are, the easier it would be for the doctor to pinpoint what might be happening, the couple things that could be happening, and where he can look at diagnostic interventions for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You should have documentation that you should really know that this, I notice when I do this, you know, it causes pain. You know, I notice at this time of the day, I'm feeling lightheaded. You know, after I take my medications, 2 hours afterwards, I'm starting to feel this effect. You know, I agree, being very descriptive on what you're experiencing and documenting that, because I don't know about anybody else, but I have white coat syndrome. So when I walk into a doctor's office, I immediately have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the doctor. I have great respect for my physicians, but it's just how, that's who I am. So it's best that when I'm going in, especially if they ask, well, do you have any questions for me? I have them written down.
Right.
You know, that's really key. Yeah, that's right. And what else do you have on your...
In conjunction with that, as Kate was stating, when you go into a physician's office anymore, I think there have been people who have felt that they didn't spend any time, that there was 1 foot in the door, 1 foot out the door. So time is of the essence. So if you prioritize, I think a medical history is significant for the doctor, but I don't think we need to give a medical history, because if you're going in with some shortness of breath, what you think might be a cardiac problem, or what might be, do we need to go into a cardiology consult? You know, I don't think you need to cover, you know, gallbladder surgery in 1975, those kinds of things. People get caught up with giving too much history that's irrelevant to the appointment time.
Right.
And then the doctors sometimes might cut you short. Mm-hmm. And then that's hurtful or that's offensive. Right. And then that really threatens the relationship.
It's really best to get to the point, I believe, when you're in a doctor's office, get to the point of what's going on, you know. I think that helps out with the physician, it helps out with you, and it's good to have idle chit-chat with them, seeing how they're doing, but I think that if there's something seriously going on, just get to the point.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I think also, in terms of asking questions, let me extend this just a tad bit to also the billing department of physicians, the billing department of hospitals, the billing department. You don't have to act like you know everything. You and I have been in this system for years, Kate, and we still get stumped occasionally. I actually shouldn't admit this, but last week I had to call Medicare because I actually had a statement that I didn't understand. And when I called Medicare, when I called the doctor's office, I actually didn't understand her explanation. So when I called Medicare, I was just a little bit taken back, as it had to do with the fact that I didn't have any Part B deductible met and they weren't going to pay this.
Mm-hmm.
And then my coinsurance couldn't pay because Medicare wouldn't pay. That was mind-boggling to me, and I'm in the system and I've navigated it for others. So it's okay to ask those questions. And whether it's actually the doctor, whether it's on test results, whether it's questioning a new medication, whether it's a billing problem, keep a log, and keep asking questions.
Well, I think one of the key things as a medical advocate, I think it's important that the biggest mistake folks make is that they call the office and they'll say, do you accept my insurance? And of course the office says, yes, we do. And then you see the physician and then you're discharged. And this has to do with dental, anything, physical therapy, any service that you're going for. And then next thing you know, you're getting a bill because you went out of network. The best thing that you could do for yourself is to call your insurance company and ask. And you can also go online on their website, but sometimes those websites for insurance companies are old. I actually, at one time, I was exploring that for a physician, a patient of mine, and the doctor I was looking up, I found his obituary. So online. So you want to make sure that you call them and make sure that you're going in network, because that's the last thing is that you want to deal with out of network. And also when you leave there, make sure you get a bill or at least you get a receipt. And then if you have any questions about billing, make sure that you contact the physician's office, the billing office. You ask for a printout of every itemized printout to show exactly what you had done. And if you have any questions about it, then you contact the office and you contact your insurance company. I mean, these are key things that I deal with all the time. And then, you know, to just step on that, because this is kind of what I've been doing lately, is that if you have any question, if you've been denied a procedure, if you did not, if your physician, let's say that you go in and you have surgery and your surgeon does a pre-op, and then you're in surgery and you find out 2 days later that that pre-op was denied, you want to make sure that you contact your surgeon for a peer-to-peer review, or, you know, contacting your insurance and asking, what do I need to do? A pre-op is very important. In order to make sure that that surgery, that procedure has been authorized by your insurance company. And at any time, if something is denied, you call your insurance company immediately and you ask, what are the steps to file an appeal? Can I do a verbal? Can I fax it? Is it written? Can I do a peer-to-peer? Can my physician call you? What's the phone number? There's a lot out there, and sometimes you have clients that will accept their fate. Well, you know, I know that they don't want me to make a big deal about this, or what are they going to do about it? Well, advocate for yourself, empower yourself, call the insurance company, and you might be put on hold for like 20 minutes, 25 minutes, but it's worth it. When you contact that insurance company, make sure you document the time, the date, the person that you spoke to, and get a reference number for the call.
Correct.
Sorry, that's been my pet peeve.
And it's excellent because people don't know. And I will tell you, I don't think it takes anybody to know that this is not a Medicare enrollment period.
Right.
So you're deluged, whether it was political or it was medical, everybody's been deluged with a lot of information, a lot of words that can look a little twisted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the important thing, is regardless of what your insurance is, just make sure you do have a handbook, look it up, don't hesitate to appeal. Again, as we've said before earlier, ask questions, it's your right. You know, one of the things when I started to become an executive director in a nursing home that was so important to me that everybody sort of blew off sometimes is resident rights.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me is just ordinary consumer rights that we need to exercise.
Right.
Kate explained it beautifully. If I can just bring up, Kate, because I think it's probably a good time to bring up scams.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been happening, not just with medical things, financial scams, banking scams. Just watch what you're answering. Watch the information. you know, everybody has said it numerous times, never release your social security number, never release banking information, routing number, anything like that, because I think that they target populations based on age. Mm-hmm. And it's just been happening so frequently that it's another warning out there to just watch yourself, because sometimes I get a thing on my phone that I think, should I even have this, or should I just block that right out, you know?
Yeah, I just got one from an unknown number that I have no idea. It's unknown to me, asking, oh, I found your number in my phone book. Who is this?
Yes.
No, I'm not responding to you. I know this is a scam. And it's amazing how they try to trick you to say, well, sure, I'm, you know, my name's Kate, and here's, do I know you? And then you go back and forth bantering, and next thing you know, you're giving out information, you know, that you shouldn't be giving out. So I agree. Scams are on the rise, unfortunately, and it's not getting any better. And right. They're finding so many different ways, especially to infiltrate our seniors, so, which is sad.
We talked it in our first six podcasts that we did, the last two podcasts, we were focusing on power of attorneys, living wills. That's another form of protection that comes in with managing your healthcare needs. And we talked at length about that. We talked also about levels of care, the financial end of levels of care, and whether it be for yourself or whether suddenly you're in a caregiving situation and that might be the route that you need to take. Those are on our previous podcasts to review, but we went into length about those two areas of home health, home care, hospice, assisted living, skilled nursing, power of attorney, living wills, advanced directives. Yeah. So please make reference to that if you didn't hear those, and that could be a benefit to you.
Yeah, and I think that the one thing I have to mention, and Jane and I have talked about this, is that this will be our final podcast. We truly feel that we have done a lot. We have tried our best to make sure that we educate,
empower, and provide experience.
And we hope that we've met your needs as listeners. And with that being said, you know, I just want to review our podcast that we've had. Our first one was July 12th, 2023. Cannot believe that. It's been over a year. And, you know, this all came about one day. I just decided that we needed to do, in my profession, I've been dealing a lot with, you know, children, adult children, and calling and asking me questions about their parents. And one day it just came to me, oh, I should do a podcast on aging. And then it was like, oh, I know the person I want to have with me to do this podcast. And that was Jane. I couldn't have picked a better person. And so on July 12th, we did our introduction and providing guidance and understanding about elder care. We talked about physical changes with retired Cheryl.
Yes.
Morrell, correct?
Correct.
Gallagher. She did a fine job. And then number three was functional changes. Wim Rogers, Dr. Wim Rogers. That was excellent about physical therapy. Don't you agree?
Yes.
I learned so much about that. And then I think the thing that I really took away from his conversation was about getting in shape prior to surgery, making sure you're strong enough. Don't you,
yes.
you agree?
Yes.
And then four was by our very own spirituality versus religion, Jane.
Yes.
You did a great job.
Thank you. Well, that was an enlightening part of my hospice career over the years, and it has also triggered my spirituality and my spiritual needs more than what I gave enough thought to.
Yeah, you did a wonderful job, and I thank you for that. Number five, navigating elder care. was part one and part two, where we talked about assisted living, nursing homes, exactly what Jane had just mentioned. Number seven, caregiving experience. Let's talk about Dave Higge.
Yeah.
He talked about the family approach to caregiving, right, with his parents, and how they were a collaborative effort, right, to help his parents. And I really enjoyed that. It was an emotional time. And then we looked at part two with Nancy McManus.
Yes. And the two of them together with their caregiving talked so much about respect versus bulldozing somebody into a different type of environment.
Right.
And respecting the sensitivity all the way around.
I agree. And Nancy brought the perspective of being an only child, you know, and how she had to handle everything. But she did. She was lucky to have your guidance on that. And then, you know, we're looking at personal experience that was involving my aunt, and how we kept her in her home for the longest time. She had dementia. Her power of attorney, who I'm still in touch with every week, we talk, and how I ended up losing my aunt. The ninth was Aging Eyes, Dr. Julia Pilott. Learned a lot about macular degeneration, cataracts.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yes, she was.
Very good. Number 10, you brought Never Too Late, Diane Kars.
Diane Kars, owning a business, healthcare business, what home health is these days, the ups and downs of it through COVID, after COVID. Yes.
Yeah, she was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And inspiring, I must say. 11, Forgotten Therapy, Annette Capozzoli, retired speech therapist.
Yes.
Let's not forget, speech therapy is key, right? For those who doctor might order physical therapy, occupational therapy, but that speech therapy is key, especially with a stroke.
Cognition issues.
Exactly.
Right.
And then we had number 12, Cheryl Lucas, mental health and addiction of our seniors. And then 13, we had Megan
Anderson, mm-hmm. talking and describing palliative care and what that means and how it can truly benefit individuals out there that don't understand it, so they avoid it. Mm-hmm. And she brought in hospice a little bit, but the meaning of palliative care.
Yeah, she was excellent.
Yeah.
She was really good. And I have to say that, Jane, even though this is our last one, who knows what we're going to end up doing after this, but it's been wonderful being with you and sharing our experiences together and feeling like we are helping our listeners.
That's exactly what I... After every podcast, we had a good feeling. We never wanted to know how many listeners, because it was Kate's son who was just incredible helping us with this. And then when we found out there was a significant number of viewers, I think Kate and I could sit down at the end of the day, reflect back and say, I hope we just hit two people, that the topic we talked about, we either gave them the information they needed or the strength to make decisions during a difficult time.
Agreed.
So
I absolutely agree. And I just want to give a shout out to Adam Sherman for taking the time, even though he's been on tour, but he takes the time to help us to produce these podcasts. So with that being said, thank you, Jane, from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, Kate, thank you from the bottom of mine. And we always have quotes that we quote other people. So what I thought is, this is a season of Thanksgiving. Kate and I might be better to just verbalize our own quotes to you, whether you listen to us 12 times or you listen to us two times. Grateful, blessed, thankful.
Agreed. Agreed.
That's all we can say. And we just hope we gave you some ability from our experience to empower yourself to make some decisions as you age or you become a caregiver. And thank you. Thank you for being loyal to us.
And thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Have a good day.